coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. This segment brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. You know, ordering windows in an older home can be a real challenge. The way they did things in 1900 is a little different than today, which is why many people with historic homes, such as ones built in 1915, reach out to Pella. Their team of experts can customize windows and doors that matches architecture from any era. Really doesn't matter what kind of a home you live in. They offer nearly endless possibilities in design flexibility and sizes, custom colors, finishes, and so much more. And if you order today from Pella, get 0% interest for up to 48 months. Certain restrictions apply. Ends on the 30th. They stand the test of time. Give them a call. Check them out. Free in-home consultation. Visit PellaWI.com. Today.
Love him.
Yes. Hey, we love this guy, Grant Soletsky, who is in the 127 32nd Division of the United States National Guard, based right here in Green Bay, a very, very proud and prestigious group, wouldn't you say, in their history over time?
Oh, yeah.
Did you know the little history of the 32nd in World War II?
Yes, I do.
What is it?
New Guinea.
No. Nope.
And then Luzon.
Well, yeah, everything.
New Guinea, Luzon, Philippines.
So the 32nd has the longest running concurrent time in World War II of any branch, any reserve, active, whatever it is. I think it was like 632 days.
Yeah, and they actually, you know, everybody says that Guadalcanal was the first victory, and it really wasn't. New Guinea actually was, because they cleaned the Japanese out of Buna before Guadalcanal was completely solidified. So, and they went right from Port Moresby all the way up through the mountains. And it was one of the worst things, worst conditions on the face of the earth, Jim. This is no lie. And these are a bunch of kids from Wisconsin and the UP and places like that. It was the worst. MacArthur screwed them over so bad. They had like winter equipment and guys were like, they had no, it was terrible. Their uniforms just literally rotting right off of them. It was unbelievable. Yeah. And they were like serious headhunters living in those, like if you got lost or you got left and these headhunters would find you, they would literally cut your heads off and hang them because that was a sign of masculinity for them. It was horrible. And they took on the Imperial Japanese Army, which was one of the best fighting forces in the history of the world. And these kids from Wisconsin and Michigan in the Midwest, who were just all normal people, they weren't professional soldiers. They were, you know, once a week they would drill because they would get a dollar for each drill, and the beer was 5 cents, and that's where they would join. And all of a sudden, they're taking on the most fierce army in the world, and they beat them.
And kicking butt.
It's incredible what the 127, the 32nd Division did.
Yep.
Just incredible.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah. So congratulations on being a part of that, Grant. Yeah,
are you still getting those kind of people?
Here and there.
So Grant is a recruiter.
Yeah. Right. So I'm
Grant's recruiter at the 127.
Right. Yep. And so, you've been there for a little while.
I joined in 2013.
Okay.
I joined as an old man. I was 34 when I got in. So,
okay.
But yeah, I'm an infantry guy. That's what I joined as, and now obviously a recruiter. But my first go-to is to find the killers out there. And
the killers. What's the talent pool, so to speak, out there these days for the military?
It's there. It's just you gotta. It's sorry.
That's okay.
Talking in front of the microphone.
You do whatever you want. I'm
trying to drink coffee and talk at the same time. The talent pool's there. We spend a lot of time in high schools, obviously. It's summer break right now, so I really enjoy summer break to get out because, well, sitting in high schools all day is something. But I would say 1% is our number, right? 1% of the population serves in some form or fashion.
Yep.
And that rings true for the most part. The force that we're really looking for, especially in the National Guard, is the adult force. The people who've been in it for a while, people who've run a business, people who know about the different functionalities of starting in the mailroom. You know, like start at the bottom of a business and you work your way up. That's the same thing in the military. You start as a private. You're taking out the garbage. You're sweeping the floors. And when we can get people that appreciate that route from the civilian side and be able to come into the Guard, like they understand. So it's not like a lot of kids nowadays, you tell them to clean their room and you sweep the floor, like that's below me.
Yeah.
And that's a tough thing to get people to understand. And then in order to get them to flow through and to gain rank and to go up through the process, like, you have to start there. And if they're not willing to do that, then they go away.
Forget it. Yeah.
That is so important. And I think even in business, you see that when you bring someone in and they, like we always joke about, they want to start on second base or third base. It's just like,
look, and act like they hit a triple.
Well, and you don't learn as much either. You're not as effective as a manager unless you did work your way up, and you can move rather quickly.
Sure.
I mean, it's not like it's a forever. And I think some people look at that. Yep. Hey, I want to talk a little bit about, with the listeners that we have out here, how difficult it is. I mean, you don't take anybody. And I think when Johnny and I were in school.
Don't take just anybody.
Well, remember when we were in high school, it's like, well.
They would take anybody. Actually, the bottom of the rung sometimes were the main ones they would go after.
It's not like
and
that
I hate
anymore.
To say, I hate to be put it that way, but.
But here we are 50 years or 40 years later. You guys go after the best.
It was the last option, right?
Yes.
That's what it was. Now it's between the ASVAB. ASVAB's just the ACT of the Army. And by gosh, out of 10 that we send from local high schools, not all, local meaning statewide, I would say, out of 10, 3 pass.
Wow.
And 31 is the minimum to get in. And we just have a struggle with that. And then on top of that, law violations, if you have any medical history, you took ADHD medication. Well, through COVID, right? So we had antidepressants, anxiety medication, and ADHD. Those three pills, hand them out like candy.
Right.
And you take them, it's 3 years.
You can't get in.
No.
Wow. You know, I actually had a judge suggest to me one time, this is no lie, when I was in high school, because I got a couple of little tickets and got in some trouble with whatever, okay? And he said, you ever think about joining the military to get straightened out? Honest to God.
Yeah. Is your dad standing next to you?
No. Actually, I went to talk to the judge on my own, so to convince him not to get it in the paper what happened, or whatever, so my dad wouldn't see it. It was just an accident. It wasn't anything major, but it was one of those things where, you know. But, you know, another thing with those days versus these days, Grant, is once the, you know, when I was the last class that had to register for the draft. Okay. So you probably, you're a year behind me. I was the last group like that had to, then it was never, you know, and then it started up again a few years later. Mm-hmm. But what I'm saying is when they were talking about a volunteer army, I remember everybody saying, there's no way nobody's going to join you. Cause it seemed like such a, like you said, last resort, you know, people were getting drafted and they hated getting drafted and they'd come back and tell people don't join. You know, it was a really, really tough time. Yeah. In the mid-70s, but I am shocked, or not shocked, but pleasantly shocked, I guess, that when 9/11 happened, boy, our people, men and women, it was almost like a World War II thing, lining up, sign me up, join. Is that still there? Is that patriotic feeling still there?
No.
No. Okay.
So, and that's what the numbers are compared to, in my opinion.
Okay.
The numbers are compared to early time, like recruitment numbers,
right,
as far as force goes. The patriotism is still there, it's just not in mass.
Okay.
But
so I want to know what you think about, there's countries that you serve 2 years. Israel. Do you think that's a good idea?
I think every single kid right now should serve 2 years of civic service of some form or fashion.
We had a basketball player at UW Green Bay from Norway, and he, same thing, he loved it. He said it's the greatest thing in the world.
Well, you just gain so much. One, you go off to basic training by yourself. You have to go and fall down by yourself and get up by yourself and create this whole.
How tough is basic training these days compared to the old days?
It varies per drill sergeant and per cycle. Because everyone, so once a group of drill sergeants come into their cycle, their group, it's their group.
Right.
So there's a set regimen of what they have to do in the training. But as far as their how they
treat the people,
how they treat them, and how the rewards for screwing up happen, that's all on them. So some people have a really decent, okay time, and some people just get their butts kicked every day.
But you get your butt kicked?
Oh, yeah. They hated me because I was old.
But you're in such amazing shape, and you're a CrossFit instructor.
No, I was good, but I was, dude, they beat me up. Because I was old, so they was like, you think you know everything, old man? I'm like, I didn't say a thing. Like,
holy
cow. But Grant, what you're saying is, I wanted you to talk through the 2 years. What a gift that would be to spend 2 years. But that first time is just more individual. I can do this.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's important because I think
self-confidence.
Some people lack that. And they're
Even what he said about going off by yourself. You don't have you're scared. Buddy to lean on.
I like that.
No one wants to make a dive into doing things these days. It's all, I'm going to wait for the perfect moment. I'm going to wait for this. And the moment goes. comes and goes like the wind. So it's like for these people that go out and do this and they go and prove to themselves that they can do this and they come back from basic training, shoulders up, yeah. ready to rock and roll.
That's awesome.
Whether you're going to go to college or get a job, whatever it is, they have these skills now from like in order to be a good leader, you got to be a good follower. Simple as that. Like you have to be able to follow your leadership. And in employees these days have a very tough time following that management, whether it's they're 18 and the kid that's managing is 19.
Yeah.
And there's headbutting going on with that. But in the military, they do that in the same age kind of groups, same thing. And they learn how to like, roger that, just go get the job done. You may not agree or disagree, whatever it is with the person who's giving you these orders or this direction, but you go do it, get it done, and you grow.
I find that really interesting. We had 1,000 employees where I worked in different ages, right? It would mm-hmm. go from, I don't, maybe not 18, but well, I shouldn't say that. I was younger than that. But in the summer, we hired kids for yep. the pool, and then we've got people who are in their 60s.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to learn how to talk to the different groups in their language in terms of, you know, somebody like my
yep,
age.
I get what you're saying.
But in the military, they don't do that, huh? It's just like one language?
Well, we kind of have to, though. So we've had to change our ways a little bit. Like, we have to modify a little bit to this new, because the new group, the new generation is why. Like, why? And before, it's like, it doesn't matter your why. But the problem is now you don't tell them their why, and they just break down and stop.
Wow.
And so we need to figure out, we had to, like, and specifically me, because I'm just that guy, like, just go do it.
Right.
Stop being a,
right.
a few random swear
right,
words
right,
and
right,
get
right,
it done.
Right.
And that doesn't work.
I'll be darned.
So, are you yes. even allowed to swear?
Oh, I don't know, but I do.
I think the answer is yes.
This is Scotch, but
you know, I will say this. So you mentioned about when the, you know, their shoulders are out after the Marine recruiters years ago, 10 years ago, maybe more, mm-hmm. had me go to San Diego to shoot a video for them.
Okay.
That they're going to use for when they go to schools and everything. Mm-hmm. And it was really cool because they're right there at the footprints where they come off the bus. But what I was saying is then we're also there when they came off the Crucible,
mm-hmm.
which is the toughest. It's the ending. It's the final exam, so to speak.
Yep. Well,
it's
yeah,
so difficult. You can't believe it. And here's these drill instructors, and they're tough dudes who had just been beating these people for months and months. And now he's like, I can't tell you how proud I am of you.
Yeah,
let me
that's
tell
cool.
you something.
Yeah.
I thought I broke you, and you showed me. You want to talk about this 150-pound kid all of a sudden swelling with
chest.
That's exactly
out, yeah.
right. It was the greatest moment of their lives, I think.
Yep, absolutely.
All right, Grant Smolenski is joining us right now. He's from the 32nd Army Recruiter. And we're going to talk a little CrossFit as well. Back Ooh, after this. CrossFit. Detroit, Chicago, Chattanooga, Baton Rouge. Got along just to be at my home. I'm so glad I'm living in the USA. Yes, I'm so glad. Hey, welcome back. Mine on the Mayor here on a beautiful Wednesday morning, being joined by Grant Smolenski, United States Army recruiter at the 32nd Division down on military and a former owner of a CrossFit gym.
Mm-hmm.
Gym, my gym next to me here. Still does not believe I did CrossFit.
Sure did.
Oh, come on, Grant.
Yep. Yeah, it was 2010? Right when I opened.
So. Yeah. Yeah, right when you opened. Yeah, yep. Because I think your sister or somebody contacted me and said.
Is that how we,
I think,
you and I
Yeah, because I was talking about it on the radio, and she said, you got to, because I was talking about, I got to find a new way to get in shape. Mm-hmm. And she said, I got one for you. And I thought, oh, okay, it's a gym. I'll go down there. I'll do a couple of things. Woo! So, it was,
Grant,
didn't know CrossFit was a different animal.
What happened?
Well, nothing really.
Like, yeah, you're right.
He came in.
He's
honest. He slimmed down for a little while.
I lost 11 pounds.
Yeah,
remember
you
that?
Look good. You busted your butt. It was you and my mother-in-law, Lois, were there a lot.
Yes.
I don't know if you remember her.
Absolutely.
Yep. She's still there today.
No kidding.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, why, good for her.
Yeah. Well, John, if Lois is still there.
Well, he sold the gym.
Was Johnny there till you sold the gym?
No.
No, but I.
See, he comes up with these.
I got
like,
a new hip. I had to get an artificial hip.
Grant,
my hip was hurting
this.
So bad.
So, okay, so John wants me.
Hey, you want to have a little burpee contest?
No, I just want to say, I want to hear this from Grant, because he is the owner of CrossFit and in is unbelievable shape. Can you still be in shape with an artificial hip and work out at CrossFit?
Actually, artificial hips are they're pretty quick recovery.
Some
for a full transplant for
yeah,
a full thing,
thing.
Yeah.
yeah full thing
and yeah we have people in the gym
sure.
that have artificial
really?
Hips
okay
that,
John.
Yes and you can be a phenomenal it's but it all starts okay. in the kitchen
all right there you go all
I
right
still,
go
I
ahead.
Still say some of those exercises or some of those things whatever you want to call them in CrossFit
yeah.
are as grueling as any sporting activity that you can come up with. Would you agree?
Yeah, it's the way I look at it, it mimics real life. Like, yeah. If you don't know what's going to be in front of you today.
That's right.
It's raking a giant pile of leaves or moving a pile of rocks or whatever it may be that you have in front of you. CrossFit is full range of motion of everything, right? So shoulders, legs, core, you name it, you're doing it. Like, here's your job, go do it. It's very military too.
Go ahead.
I was just saying, I never.
Because he is personal trainer. We're just going to talk about this.
Okay. So yeah.
But they have to hold him up because he can't do a lunge without falling over.
That's not true, John. He's never been there.
Todd, did he say that to you?
I did not say that.
Lunges is a pole. That's all we know.
Yeah, you have walking poles now to do lunges.
Just one pole on occasion.
Ski poles.
So Tom Fabry was on our show.
Oh, Tommy was?
Yes. Yep. Remember him? He won the CrossFit and he was 62.
He's still competing. He is. Yeah, he made it again to the games this year. He's going on 4 years now that he made it.
Okay, I was just going to say it's not too late for John to rejoin.
It's not too late.
Okay, that's my point.
It's not too late for you to join.
Yeah, good point.
Why don't you guys do it together for a week?
I would do it if you do it. I do it if you do it.
We can hardly make it through this show.
I do it. Todd says, yep.
Yeah.
You know what I could not do, though, no matter what? The rings.
Like muscle ups?
The rings where you have to lift yourself up and do weird things on the rings.
Yeah, I don't have that gymnastics aspect.
I would say 95% of people can't. But 5%, but it's a goal to attain to. So that's another thing with CrossFit. There's always something you stink at and you're like, I want to do that.
But the difference if somebody's just watching CrossFit,
there's not a lot of excuses, but go ahead, John.
It's not that bad, blah, blah, blah. But the thing is, I remember even with the barbells, okay, it had to be done perfectly. I remember you screaming at me, no. I mean, one thing about CrossFit, it's got to be just exact, right?
Well, so it's repetition of movement. So like cleaning a barbell, snatching a barbell, whatever movement it is with a barbell, deadlifting, squatting, whatever. There's mechanics to it. And it's a repetition of mechanics over and over and over and over again that is going to create. So we can chase perfection, obviously. Like, we're never going to get there. But that's the goal. So that's what. I was such a pain in your butt back in the day.
But you were on me. You were on me.
Yeah.
And John, how long was he there? 10 days?
A couple months.
Oh,
really?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool.
He would show up every time he was supposed to be there. He never did show.
No, Cross, I never missed
the nice thing about CrossFit, we were talking, that's not the most expensive workout regarding equipment. You know, you go to Western and I don't know, they may have hundreds of thousands of dollars of equipment, but I mean, that's, CrossFit that's, something you can do with
that's
the
how I started it. So I started in my garage. And I also wanted to start a gym, but I didn't have the money to put out $250,000 for like just your tiny gym with the equipment. Right. But for CrossFit, I'm like, I could do it for $30K. And that's a handshake loan at the bank. And I knew Brent Jensen back in the day. He used to be associated in Business Bank. I think he's at Community First now. But anyhow, he's like, yeah, good to go. And I bought a few wall balls, bought a few rowers, a few barbells. And then, because you were in the first place.
Yep.
And it was a whole, like, we took a daycare, tore out the,
yep, exactly.
the second
Schwabana.
Floor. Yep. Yeah. Yep. Got rest in peace, Mike Krajewski. And we just started there, and slowly but surely we built up. So every new member, every month that I was a little in the black, it took me like 3 months to get in the black. Then once I got there, I just bought new stuff. I almost swore. and just kept slowly but surely building up. And then when I sold it, we had a, what was it, 10,000 square foot facility with
nice.
And I'm a hoarder of equipment. Oh, I bought everything.
That's cool.
And that's how that gym grew to what it is today.
What's harder, a really tough CrossFit workout session or a day in boot camp?
I would say a day in basic training for sure.
Okay.
There are horrible workouts, but you're never going to go over an hour, hour and a half.
Right.
But basic training, like you're up 0-4 and then occasionally you have this all night crap and it's a long.
Do you guys do the rappelling walls?
Yep. So the first week of basic training, you go through like the team building and the confidence building, and yep, rappel wall is one of them.
Jim says he was really good at that in ROTC.
I was scared to death of it.
I rappelled off Lambo.
Did you? No way.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I was scared though. I'll admit that. I did not like that.
No.
Because you have to trust the rope and let go, and I didn't like that.
Yeah, and you have to hold rope with your hands and not screw up.
But you're not really holding. You're really kind of guiding.
Guiding it through,
You're not really holding the rope. But guys say, let go. And I'm like, dude, I do not want to let go.
You fart or sneeze and you're like.
Right. That's
the fear.
And that's high. And we repelled at St. Norbert. That was like nothing. Yeah. But that Lambo was up
there. Where on Lambo did you do that?
Right off the top of the building. It was a fundraiser. So we can get $1,000.
Is that with the firefighters or something?
No, it wasn't the firefighters. I don't think they do that anymore.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, repelling is, but you don't have a choice in basic training, right? You're going to repel.
You're going to repel. and you do it. And you do. So that's, again, that's one of those confidence things. You go there and,
right.
Like myself, like, dear sweet baby Jesus, yeah. No. And I did it and got out there. And by the time I got down, I'm like, oh, that was super fun. I'm like, right. I'd do that again. Man. And as I walked away and didn't do it
yeah.
again.
Well, even like at the Marine thing I was at, they've got the thing, I think it's called Stairway to Heaven, where it's almost, I remember in the movie Full Metal Jacket, they've got that. It's almost like old telephone poles, you know, horizontal going up, but they're all different lengths apart mm-hmm. from each other and everything like that.
Yeah.
You know, so a shorter guy would have yeah. a tougher or whatever, and no safety net. There's like wood chips on the bottom. Yep. And if you fall,
you fall
80 feet, you fall. Yep. And I told people, I said, I don't think I could ever do that. I said, if you were in, you would do it. I said, well, I, you know, he said, you'll be so afraid of that drill instructor on what's going to happen to you if you don't, on how he's going to make your life so miserable that you will do it.
Yeah. And the fear of failure.
The fear of failure amongst the other guys.
Which is huge.
Yeah.
Huge motivator for.
Yeah. Yeah.
Myself.
Peer mind. Pressure.
Yeah. And you just want to say how much you learn from that. Mm-hmm. I mean, just talk. That's a life skill.
Yeah.
That, you know, that confidence, shoulders back. And
yeah.
That's
it's I can attitude.
Right.
Yep.
Yep.
Well, Grant, first of all, I'm just really proud of you. I mean, 34 to join the military, the yep. way you did it was just phenomenal. What you're doing now.
Thanks so much.
In the last few seconds. And first of all,
thanks for the gifts.
Thanks for the MREs.
You're welcome. Just in case you got hungry.
Going to have some beef strips and a savory tomato-based sauce.
Yep, should be pretty tasty.
Hell yay.
If somebody's thinking about joining the National Guard, what should they do?
Yeah, contact Sergeant Seletsky, 920-915-0246. With your only reserve element in the state of Wisconsin, offers 100% college education, and you get to pick your job as long as you score well on that ASVAB.
Can't beat that.
I like that. I sound like you.
You know, that was good, Grant.
That was
great. Thanks so much for being here. Great to see you, buddy.
All right, appreciate it.
We're going to take a quick break. Back up this. You got it tough. I've seen the toughest
around. Mama, I'm calling. I've got some news. Don't you tell Daddy. He'll blow a fuse. Don't worry, I'm doing okay.
There's a reason we're playing this song.
I know you raised me to know right from wrong.
Do you know this song?
Yes.
Okay. Do you know why we're playing this song?
Is it because she's from the South?
Yeah. And you know where she's from in this song?
Tennessee.
Nope.
No, that's Morgan Wallen.
Yeah. Hang on. Very special reason I'm playing this song. Have you ever heard this song? It's a great song.
Kind of a long song.
You know, it's kind of things I've never done. In Georgia, they call it sin. I'm wearing Tennessee orange brand. So in this song, she's from Athens, Georgia, but she met a guy who's from... Hang on.
Saturday,
hang on there.
And I wore the hat on his dash to the game. Sure was in Athens, but I...
Forgot that.
There you go. All right. So it's a song about this girl from Athens, Georgia.
Okay.
Whose family is like diehard. I mean, that's where the University of Georgia
is.
Oh,
man. You got to be down there.
I bet, huh?
You have to be.
Well, Todd, that's why I said when I ever retire, I'm going to spend a fall traveling from college football to college football games. And Athens, Georgia is one of the places I want to go.
So I work for some stations
right.
down there, right?
Right.
Going to a game is, I mean, you're talking about a Packer game.
Right.
Just
college
take
football
a step
is
aside.
So much better yeah. than
take
NFL
a step
games.
Aside.
Thank you.
I know, right?
Yes. Isn't it?
So you are from Athens, Georgia.
Yep.
This is Rochelle Jordan from Dominion Title and Exchange, sitting in for Ben and Deanna Malcor. But yeah, but the song is about this girl from Athens, Georgia, who meets this boy she really likes from Tennessee, and they're huge rivals. It'll be like Packers, Vikings.
Right.
And she's like, you know, she's has a hard time explaining to her mom that she's becoming kind of a Tennessee fan, and her dad would go crazy in Athens because whatever. And that's your hometown.
Yes.
So that's why we played that song.
And it is a sin.
It is.
I guess. I bet.
I love that in Athens it in they church. Call it a sin.
They yeah. preach it in church.
It really
yes.
Is.
Yes.
I got to ask, how'd you get up here then?
Well, my husband, he is from here, so he drug me back. Kicking and screaming. I'm just kidding. I chose to come up. But yes, that's my husband. He was working down south, and we met that way, and did long distance for a while, and I was actually a closer down south and found a job up here at Dominion, and so I took it and came on up.
Was he in the military?
No, he was working for an environmental firm.
So I had two brothers that were in the service in Georgia, Fort Benning and Fort Gordon.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, nope. He just was working down there doing environmental stuff and happened to find him that
you
way.
You haven't lost your accent.
I love it.
So do I. That's very cool.
Love it.
I've only been up here a year and a half, so I'm still fresh.
All right.
Well, how if you really laid it on, if you were talking to somebody from back in Georgia, how would that go?
Oh, hey, y'all. How y'all doing?
Love it. Love it. So tell us a little bit about what you're doing with Ben and Deanna Malcor and Bay Area Realty and Berkshire Hathaway and the whole thing.
Yeah. So Dominion Title has a little satellite office in Ben and Deanna's office here over here at Berkshire Hathaway. And we are there for any of their needs, questions, concerns, anything like that. But I work over there Mondays and Wednesdays. And yeah, I'm really just there to be a liaison for anything they might have.
In-house title, right on the corner of Broadway and Walnut.
Yes, sir.
And I don't think people understand just how critical that piece is in the real estate transaction.
Absolutely. You
know? And the problem with real estate, why I was a little bit frustrated, and I did that as a broker for a while, is you have to rely on so many other people. You know, yeah. It's not like you can do everything, right? You need a title company, obviously you need the bank.
Title can make or it can break a transaction.
And you seem like the person that would make it. I mean, it's just, you know, you want to have some good energy. And
yeah. Well, we have a sign on our desk that says everything is figure outable, and we live by that. No is not an answer in real estate, right?
That's right. Yeah. Absolutely. Cool. How do you like it living up in Green Bay versus Athens, Georgia?
Well, we got the same G, so I'm okay with that.
That's right. It's the same exact logo.
Just a different color.
I know.
But I love it. You know, January and February are a little bit lame, but we'll make it through.
We'll go with lame. Okay. It could be worse than that. Did you go to Georgia?
No, I didn't go to Georgia. I went to the School of Hard Knocks Community College. I just grew up there.
Where? Where in Georgia?
Yeah, it was called Athens Tech.
Oh, okay. Yeah. When Georgia used to have their hate, well, they're still real. I mean, they're phenomenal in football. And you've seen the Packers up here. Mm-hmm. What is a more fervent fan base? What is a bigger day, Packers Sunday or Georgia football Saturday?
Well, I would say Georgia football Saturday, only because we got a bajillion more people down there than we do up here.
Yeah, it is, huh?
But the fans that are here are diehard in their own way. I think drinking's a little bit more popular up here, so you see the crowd a little differently.
I'd never been to a Southern football game before, okay? Until, and it still wasn't in a certain, but when LSU came to town, those fans were crazy passionate. I mean, on like every play. I mean, Packer fans, you might sit around, you're drinking, you're talking about whatever, and what happened? You know what I mean? Yeah. Those people, I'll never forget, were so into that game and every play that happened and whatever. It wasn't there for the social ad. Maybe beforehand it was.
Sure.
But during that game, it was serious.
Well, yes, and they get feisty. You know, if you go to those games, just be on your P's and Q's because you don't know what's going to happen.
Yep. But they were some of the best fans we had up
no
there.
Oh, no question.
And they, like 3-4 days, they were here. Like those people travel. They don't just come in for the game and leave. They came to Green Bay and, of course, Jim Kratowicz used to run Titletown. Put together some pretty cool events
over
there.
The Badger Band
came here. We had a parade. Mm. You look out there, and I mean, there was a lot of red, but there was a whole lot of LSU fans there.
Which was great because, to be honest with you,
super nice.
I've been to a lot of Big Ten games, and they're not. Opposing fans aren't like that. Like, if Minnesota fans came here for, you know, to take on the Badgers, it's not a friendly mingling. And there was a really friendly mingling between the LSU people and the Wisconsin
Absolutely.
People.
Southern nice, my friends.
They really were. And I want to say the city did a pretty good job. We had the Pulaski Band, which is a great band here. Greet them when the planes came in. They chartered quite a few planes. I was surprised by that, too. And when they came off, we were playing their fight song and ours. But it was just a great. It started off really well and ended really well. We won the game. But it was just, and the weather was perfect, right?
Yeah, I mean, that helped. Perfect. Beautiful. That was one of the greatest advanced Southern or Packer game ever in this area, I thought.
I take that over some of those Packer
games. I take it well over some of the Packer games. No question about it. Had a vibrancy to it.
It was just, and we were so excited to have the Badgers here, too. Mm-hmm. You know, we're college people, but you got to go down Camp Randall to see them, and they were here at Lambeau. And you know, their band is second to none. So it was just the whole weekend, all 4 days was just great. So, hey, tell me, how's the real estate business from the title perspective?
Man, it's wishy-washy right now, you know. So some days you're super busy and you can't see straight. And then other days it's like, where's everybody at? I think it's like that for everybody, lenders and agents involved. I think all together we're noticing the difference in interest rates. Housing prices still really haven't come down. Some have, some haven't. So we're just navigating the waters of that. But I feel like I've seen a little bit of an influx of for sale by owners. I don't know what's up with that. I haven't asked, but
they would still go to you though, right?
Yeah, I mean you have to close no matter what with us.
Right.
But I don't know. I have some people. It's a lot of estate for sale by owners, or people whose parents pass away. And stuff
I will
like
say this. I forget what street it is here in Green Bay, Jim. And as I was going to mention this to you, two houses next to each other have both had for sale signs up probably 2 weeks now. And that was unheard of about a year ago.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Maybe they, you know, maybe the prices are so high that, because, you know, you can, so many people say, oh my God, you got to ask for X number more.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's got a friend who knows how to do it. So maybe they did that and, you know, that determines the market too.
Yes,
but
true.
Right. But that was surprising because it wasn't that long ago. It would be 2 days. It'd be accepted offer signs would be on the thing.
Well, you know, that's still happening. Some houses are getting off the market within 24 hours as soon as they hit, and others aren't. I don't know. It just really depends on where you're at in town, what the money looks like, and all the situations.
You're exactly right. Yep.
I think, Bay Area really aligns themselves with quality. Like I said, there's a lot of people in a transaction. It's just not the realtor. I think some people think, well, the realtor does everything. Well, they need a good title company.
Yeah.
But I'll say one of the reasons those houses might be on is you guys have a great inspector, too, who was just on last
Andy.
Week.
Yes.
And Andy, there could be a foundation thing, and that's until you can negotiate who's going to pay that 20, 25 grand to get that wall fixed. But the title is so important and can delay it. How do you expedite it?
So expediting, I mean, we just really get on it. As soon as we get in that order, we immediately start searching it so that there is no delays. So if you have, say, like a 2 week closing, so from the day we get it and it's closing in 2 weeks, we make sure that within that 5 day range, we're making sure title is clear and good to go. And if for any reason it's not, we're hitting it right in the head and going straight forward with it and making sure that everybody knows what's going on and that we get it resolved beforehand.
You know, I was reading an article about, I get just those things pop up in your emails once you're registered or certain something, but it's NRA, you know, the national things they sent out. And one of the things was some people were complaining about closing costs, okay, and blaming like the title people. And they're like, hey, we don't, you know, like certain things that get done, we don't fix those rates.
Right.
That's what we're paying them.
Yeah.
But they were coming after like you guys, because thinking you guys raised a bunch of rates, you guys didn't, but all of these other things did, correct?
Correct, yeah. So our underwriters set out the policies, the owner's policy and the lender's policy for that. And so they're set state rates, you know, and if they decide they want to go up, then they go up, which has happened. Last year it went up, and then this year it's going up again. So.
And who pays the title?
So buyer pays lenders, and the seller pays for the owner's title insurance.
Right. And that's an expense that's all laid out before the closing. Any surprises? You sound like you've been doing this for a while. You know what you're doing. But sometimes you get into the closing and it's like, what?
Yeah, well, you know, special assessments, that definitely will throw a surprise in there. but no, generally it should be run in the mill, right? Let's pay off your water, your mortgage. Here's my title fees. We're paying some commission. If there's a lender involved, we're paying the lender's fees off, and then we call it a day. Right. Surprises really only come if street improvements, curb and gutter work, anything like that happens, or I don't know.
Well, they got to disclose that anyway, so you know.
And one of the things that said in that article that went up was the, what's it called? I'd flunk the test if I had to take it today. But the in-between time before it sold and bought, the insurance.
The gap coverage?
Gap coverage.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, so that gap coverage covers from the time we search the property until it closes. So if my examiner searched it on the 15th, it's not closing till the 25th, then that effective date is on the 15th. So we need a gap coverage to cover that time.
Exactly. And people are like, why are you charging me so much?
You're not. You refresh all the time.
Exactly.
Refresh.
Absolutely.
Anything people, if they're dealing with Hathaway or dealing with you, that they can make your job easier?
I think communication, it's just the most important, right? Like, I love to know my practices. As soon as I get the order, I call people and I ask what their expectations are. Like, what time frame are you looking at? How do you want to get in contact with me? Stuff like that. So it's always nice to know what people are expecting. That way you can't let them down. And so if I know going into a file what people are expecting of me, what they were hoping for, then I can give them that service. It's when the communication doesn't necessarily go that far and then people's expectations don't get met. So say, like, title doesn't get done in 5 days because it just took a little bit longer because it's a harder search or whatever. Yeah.
So your company's like Dominion Title and Exchange.
Yes, sir.
Where are you?
We're off Riverside Drive.
Okay.
And are you, that's a very that's a big name. Are you a national company or is it your... Tell me how the structure is.
So we are the only little section of Dominion Title here, but we are a big subsidiary of a place called TMI Holdings, which has a whole bunch of title companies.
So you can do things out of state. You can work with anybody, really.
Yeah, so we have a sister office in Rochester, Minnesota that we do a lot of work with.
Okay.
How do you like dealing with Ben and Deanna?
I love Ben and Deanna. They're so fun.
We, aren't they fun? We
they
love
are.
Them.
They're really sweet.
We love them. And she knows her wine.
Yes, she does.
And they're. I think they're getting back today.
Yeah, from they've been having fun in Alaska.
They are. I got an email from them yesterday, so we're working with them on a project. So.
Well, it's great having you here, though.
Yes, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
So you're a Falcons fan, too?
Gosh, no.
Oh, really?
No. We'll see how Kirk Cousins does. I might be a fan after that, but right now, I'll stick to the Packers.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
She's in retail sales. She's
got. I got common sense.
She knows where the old bread is buttered.
Oh, yeah.
What was really a cool connection in Javon Bullard, who joined the Packers from Georgia.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm interested in him because I used to follow him in high school football down there. I would run games and stuff like that.
No he's kidding. Yeah,
so,
that is impressive.
Yeah. Several
That's
years
awesome.
Of him.
Now he's Isn't it fun when you get to see somebody like that in high school and then they move on like that?
Absolutely.
All the way. I think that's one of the cool things. Well, Rochelle, it's great having you here. Come back again anytime. You got about 30 seconds. Best tip you can give for somebody that's looking to buy a house right now as far as what they're going to deal with and where to go for title.
Yeah, don't forget us. Dominion Title off Riverside Drive right across from the prison. And we love you guys. And anything is possible. And it's all figured out.
Standing. You're the best. Rochelle Jordan, Dominion Title and Exchange. Thank you so very much for being here.
Thank you.
Go Dogs.
Yes, go Dogs.
Back after this.
Schwaba.
Next time.
Hey, welcome back. Mind of the Mayor here on a Wednesday morning. 78 right now in Green Bay, 77 in Appleton, 75 in Oshkosh. How high did it get yesterday?
92.
Wow. That's incredible.
Cameron had the 3 degree, and I think he picked 90. So
he wins.
It was 92 on my phone. I shouldn't say that. I don't know. Maybe it was 93 somewhere else. But
all right.
Anyway.
If I sit on my balcony today, I'll put a little thermometer by there to see what it had. I'll take a picture of the glistening, if you'd like.
We wouldn't. I don't know.
No? Okay. No. Just that. Fine. I mean, just to show you how much I'm sweating or anything. No? You don't need that? Don't want that?
Did you...
No? Okay. Why would
we? What about this bike you bought, or you said you bought, this alleged bike?
Yeah.
You really bought one?
Yeah.
Do you have a helmet?
No.
Okay.
Who did I see? Somebody famous just got in a bad bike accident. No. Biking.
Chef.
Yeah, the chef. Gordon Ramsay.
Gordon Ramsay.
Yes. Yep. Yeah.
And then Justin Timberlake.
Yeah. You know what? I wonder if
out
that's
in the Hamptons.
Yeah, I wonder if that, you got to think that cop is like, oh my God, dude, you're not going to believe who I busted.
Well, the Hamptons, pretty good chance you're going to get somebody kind of famous out there. So,
yeah.
I don't know. But he pleaded not guilty. I don't even know what it is.
How can you be not guilty if it's
in
your blood system and stuff?
I don't know.
I don't know if they took blood. I think he failed.
Well, the reports are saying that there's.
Well, I remember Billy Joel lived up there, too, and remember, that's when he led to his sobriety. He got in that really bad car accident, went off the road, hit a tree, and that really...
And then Christy Brinkley left him, didn't she, right after that?
Yeah.
I think she did.
Over a DUI?
Well, just in general. He was drinking a lot.
He was, laid up in bed, no good at her, so...
How did he get Christy Brinkley?
Right.
Oh, my gosh. She still looks fantastic.
Well, listen, I mean, it gives hope to everybody out there, doesn't it?
I know. She's like the female me.
She's like the female you?
Yeah.
How is that?
Doesn't really age.
Oh, you know what I mean?
What?
Let me go grab the picture in the other room, John.
Well, that was super touched up, but still, your high school picture.
No, I'm just saying. But, but you got to think that cop, when he had to make a call home. Hey, babe.
Do you think he was bragging?
Oh, yes. Oh, God, yes. Guess who I've got in the back of my car?
I wonder, it'd be fun to...
Who's your favorite singer?
Read the report.
Justin Timberlake? Yes!
Did you get his autograph?
Oh, I got his autograph.
Right here on the ticket.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder if Timberlake was like, you know, one of those, you know who I am? Or if he was like, hey, look.
Don't you know who I am type thing? Yeah. Or I can't see him being that
neither.
Way, though.
No, not
no,
really.
I don't think so either.
But
I'm a little surprised, Jim, that you know so much about Justin Timberlake.
Yeah, me too.
I don't typically know anything. I
couldn't name one of his songs. He was at the Super Bowl one time, and I read it this morning before I came to work.
So. Did you meet him?
No, never. I don't care for him.
Were you at the Super Bowl where he did the thing with Janet Jackson?
No, wasn't that that?
Oh,
no.
Okay.
No.
What do you think about that, Todd? Was that stage?
Yes.
I would have to say it was.
They fake so much accidents.
But Jim, that's
rehab.
That's a huge fine.
That killed us in radio for a few years. Because then all of a sudden things got to start. Okay, it's going to be $10,000 if somebody swears or somebody does something decent. I mean, we had to kick comedians. You can ask Murph about this. We had to kick comedians out of our studio who were a little too whatever because if it was borderline. Do you remember the Taming of the Shrews? It was these shrews, these two women who were real. And then another one we had to kick out of the studio was Lisa Lampanelli.
Yeah.
Remember her?
Yeah.
Wow.
Who I really like, but I would never trust her on a radio
show.
No,
not on a live radio show. So
but that was.
We had to be so careful after that. You can't believe it.
Because the fines.
Yep.
But the rules hadn't really changed. I mean,
but they were just going to enforce them now.
Okay, so the enforcement became, yeah, well,
yes.
That's good.
It was crazy for a few years.
Well, why have a law if you're not going to enforce it?
Well, I know, but I'm just saying, you know, it just, for radio, we were out because we were told basically if it happens, it's our fault. You know, the people on air, and we were going to be the ones that were going to pay the consequences for it. So, yeah, that was a bad thing when Janet Jackson did that. I think she knew what she was doing all along. I really do.
Do I?
But that Justin Timberlake didn't.
Oh, I don't know if I believe that.
Really?
If they were in on it, I think it was a duel.
Absolutely.
Ah, he seems like too nice of a guy. And he's got Jessica Biel at home, who, by the way, was born in Vermilion, Minnesota.
Wow.
Which is where Ely Community College is, where I played my first game. Isn't that something?
I'm sure she's proud of that.
I might have played against her dad or something. Yeah. Isn't that something?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, just throwing it out there. All right.
So the other thing I read, you know, I always read the news when I get up at 4, that 1440, but which is the news source. How about, you know, there's something, and Trump is really going to bring this to light, is the, what's the word I'm looking for? The flaws in our judicial system, right? Right, he's going to really, he talks about these judges, it should be more of a committee, one guy shouldn't have all this power, he talks about the DAs, but there's something wrong with our judicial system when a guy gets sentenced to more than 2,000 years in prison.
Who was that?
The guy who shot up those people in Colorado. I don't know how many people he. I should know this. You know what I mean?
2,000 years.
Well, come on.
Yeah,
but you also just said, "Why have a law if you're not going to
enforce it?"
Right. And these might be the thresholds for what he did. Right. I mean, obviously he's not going to live that long, but if that's the threshold, if it's X number of years for this and X for that.
Well, you know what? I don't understand. When somebody gets the death penalty, how they can go for 15 years before it's carried out.
All of that.
I don't quite get that.
The guy sentenced to 190 years and he just got another 2,000 years. I don't. To me, something is like, I don't know if that calls for, you're right. What does that call for? If that the law is the law and they're just piling this stuff on, but I don't know that, I don't really want to get into the death penalty, but I'd be okay with that.
Well, does anybody have it anymore? It's do they?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the lethal injections down in Texas. And Mississippi and Alabama, some of those places. I thought it was terrible when, because nobody deserved the electric chair or the gas, whatever they got,
Sparky.
more than Charles Manson and his people. I really believe it. I mean, there's a million murders going on, and everybody that murders somebody, you know, I had a good friend who was murdered, but still, and they changed it right then. The state of California made it illegal. Charlie Manson should have fried. I'm sorry. He should have fried. Don't you agree?
No argument here on no, none, zero. I mean, and I'm Catholic, and my brother complains that I'm okay with it, and it's not an eye for an eye. It's just, I wonder it's justice.
People, we'll do a quick poll.
Johnny, that they're going to eat quick in Wisconsin?
Poll. Yeah, in Wisconsin. Which way?
It ain't going to happen.
No, quick poll, which people would want? Do you want the death penalty or no?
They'll say no.
They'll say no in Wisconsin?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we'll see.
I don't know. Todd, what do you think?
I think it's 50-50. I don't know.
Let's find out. Quick poll. How do I text us?
Well, we shouldn't have got on this.
I mean, it's part of life.
2,000 years in prison or the death penalty?
Yes. All right. Just throwing it out there. Okay, all right. We got to set a quick break. Mind on the Mayor back after this.